With Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot, you can get up to $2,300 off select kitchen packages from top brands like GE Profile. That means you can save on a new GE Profile smart quad door refrigerator that's full of convenient features like a dual dispense autofill pitcher and an ice dispenser with up to 12.5 pounds capacity. Bring convenience to your kitchen with smart, innovative appliances from GE Profile. Right now, save up to $2,300 on select kitchen packages with Spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
This is People Every Day. Coming up, going inside Ariana Grande's top secret wedding. Plus, Beyonce, Michelle Williams, and Kelly Rowland's heartfelt reunion.
She's cutting up celery and carrots.
And former SNL star Sasheer Zamata on her funny new show. It's May 27th. Hello out there. This is People Every Day, and I'm your host, Janine Rubenstein. It is Thursday, which is, I think, my favorite day of the work week, honestly. It's like, you know, the weekend is near, but there's not as much pressure as Friday. Like, Friday really has to perform. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I just always like Thursdays. And today, we have got a fun show full of interesting celebrity news and notes. Later in the show, I catch up with actress, comedian, and former SNL cast member Sasheer Zamata about her new show, Home Economics, and how things are going in the stand-up comedy world during this ongoing pandemic. So stay tuned for all of that. Also, make sure to head over to people.com today to hear the panel I hosted recently for People's partnership with the mental health organization Bring Change to Mind on how the internet and social media is affecting us these days. I chat with singer Jordan Sparks, beauty influencer Bethany Moda, and others about their experiences. And here's a little of what Jordan had to share.
Jumping from Idol and going into the music industry, it was different because we didn't have social media. It was just blog sites. You know, it was just the blog. And they were like, don't go on the internet, stay off of it, and don't Google yourself. And I Googled myself once and I never did it again. I was just, what is happening?
Such a good eye-opening panel. Be sure to check it out. But right now, it's time for top stories. And like I said, there are some good ones today to dig into. And staff editor Jeff Nelson is on with me now. Hi, Jeff. Welcome back to the show.
I'm thrilled to be back. Thanks for having me.
Thrilled to have you. So let's start off with Mrs. Ariana Grande Gomez. No idea if she's changing her name at all, but I had to, you know, throw Dalton Gomez some love in there. We are getting a first look inside of her wedding. So for those who haven't seen these pictures, what can you tell us about what we now know about that special day?
Yeah, so Ariana Grande yesterday did a big photo dump in typical Ariana Grande fashion. She shared a bunch of wedding photos in some carousels on Instagram. And yeah, I mean, she and her now husband, Dalton Gomez, got married at her new home in Montecito. It was super beautiful, of course, a super intimate affair. Only about 20 close loved ones attended.
Oh my goodness. Like before the pandemic, no one could pull off a secret wedding at all. Like at least in the press, we all knew it was happening. You know, there was paparazzi out there. These days, stars are just like popping up with these weddings and babies and all of this. Were you surprised at all to just learn about this? We knew they were dating, but.
Yeah, no, I mean, yeah, we knew they were dating. We knew they were engaged, but I mean, I feel like you kind of always expect a big A-list celebrity, a big pop star to have kind of a lavish affair. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sources had told us after we found out that they got married that they'd originally been planning a big wedding. But then, you know, Ari just didn't want to wait. She wanted to have a small, intimate thing and really, you know, celebrate their love and begin the rest of their life together.
So the big question, were you surprised to see the pony? You know what I'm talking about. That ponytail.
Of course I know what you're talking about. I mean, obviously, Ariana Grande is like synonymous with her ponytail. So, I mean, that it wasn't surprising to me, but it was fun to see how she mixed it up a little bit. It wasn't, you know, her typical high pony. It was a smaller one. And I mean, she, of course, had to make room for her cute little veil, too. So.
Yeah. No, I just knew it was going to be there. But I thought she might mix it up just because, you know, wedding day. Nope, she is true to form. And she has some like interesting backstory, right, to why she always wears the ponytail.
You know, wasn't it because she was on that Nickelodeon show for years and she was always dyeing her hair. So her hair was not great. So yeah, for yeah, the safety of her hair.
Yes, it's like protective styling. It's her protective style for her hair. I think it looks great. And someone else I was talking to about it said it is like an automatic facelift. Not that she needs it, but it'll always make you look good. I love a high pony. And let's talk about Vogue covering the wedding as well, and just the additional details that we got out of that story that they did so beautifully.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think one of my favorite things to come out of it was, I mean, she wore a Vera Wang gown, and she'd actually met Vera at the Met Gala like several years ago. And when they met, like, they made a pact that when Ariana got married, like, Vera would make her the gown. So nice. Here we are all these years later. And yeah, Vera made this beautiful gown for Ari. And it was,
I love the drop back. It was like sexy, but sweet at the same time. I don't know why she just always, maybe it's the Disney stuff, but she's just so young in my eyes. I know she is like a grown woman, but, and then the pony, I guess, doesn't help, but I just see her as like a teen bride.
No, I mean,
is that horrible?
a fully grown woman, a dangerous woman at that. But right? It was a very sexy dress. It was very on brand for her. It was, I mean, silk, empire waist,
And those, like, platforms.
Those platform shoes. I mean, I guess she can dance in these like 6-inch heels on tour, so she's had practice, but just to walk a few feet down the aisle.
Oh my goodness. Okay, let's get out of the wedding world and into reunion world. No, I'm not talking about Friends. We are going to get into that on another show. But Destiny's Child reunion that we were able to see and get some sound from via social media. It was an intimate conversation between Michelle Williams, Kelly Rowland, and Beyonce. And we got to like listen into this. This is like, you know, I stan Destiny's Child, Beyonce, all of it. And you're a big fan as well, Jeff, and you've interviewed Michelle Williams and talked through her journey. So tell me why we're getting this, what this is all pegged to.
Yeah. So, I mean, Michelle, over the years, she's always been open about her mental health journey. And I mean, she struggled with depression for years, and she's been open about having suicidal thoughts in the past. So she has a new book called Checking In, which is really about her mental health journey and how it's okay not to be okay sometimes. So, these candid discussions with Kelly and Beyonce are, I mean, I can't remember a time where I've heard something like this. It's really, I mean, for such an iconic group, it really lifts the curtain.
I know. So let's listen. It really does. And it's so like sweet too. Let's listen to a little bit of just, they were like cooking during this. It was very all just off the cuff. Let's listen to that.
Y'all, Kelly's making soup.
Okay. What kind of soup you making?
Chicken and rice soup.
Yeah. I mean, she's cutting up celery and carrots. Are you making some musical soup right
now? I'm cooking some music. That's Chef Boyardee and Chef Boy Kelly.
Hey.
Beyonce would turn it into a song and a hook. So we know them, of course, as Destiny's Child individually, Beyonce, Kelly, Michelle, but these check-ins really just humanize them as people like you and me. So what types of things did they get into outside of the food and the soup?
Yeah, I mean, they've been around for years and years. And I mean, one of the striking things to me was, I mean, we see groups break up all the time.
Yeah.
One Direction a few years ago, Fifth Harmony. So it's really beautiful to see, I mean, after all these years, Michelle, Kelly, and Beyonce are still like so close friends. Like they really talked about the relationship that they have. Like, it really transcends friendship. Like, they're family at this point.
And one thing I really liked was that even though they're so close, you know, it was still a hurdle for Michelle to like open up to them about everything that she was going through. And they talked about that. Beyonce asked her a question and she opened up about that vulnerability. Let's listen to that.
What do you hope the world gains in the knowledge they gain from your book?
It's okay to not be okay, and it's okay to tell somebody you're not okay. Because I should have done that with y'all. I've been open about a lot of things, but I never was really truthful about really was.
I love that. I love it. It just made me want to just go through my phone and check in with some of my core friends. I don't know about you, Jeff, right? Like, don't you just want to be like, wait, how are you doing?
Absolutely. No, I mean, and I think it's really important to do that. And it's great that, I mean, Michelle and Kelly and Beyonce, these iconic women are, yeah, really amplifying that message.
For sure. And just one more thing I need to get into. Tessa Thompson, this first, I just want to check into this story because I'm a little confused and excited all at the same time. So
aren't we all, Janine?
She is just doing her thing. Okay, this weekend, photos emerged of her, you know, chilling out and making out with singer Rita Ora and director Taika Waititi. And I just hadn't seen a throuple makeout session yet this year, and it caught me off guard.
I mean, same. Like, when I saw the photos, I was like, okay. didn't know that I need this, but good for them. Like, what, living their best
lives. Let's talk a little bit about him, though. So he's currently directing Thor, Love and Thunder, and he's directing her as well, right?
Yeah. I mean, people know Tessa Thompson from the Marvel Universe, and yeah, she'll be in Thor, Love and Thunder. So clearly they're colleagues now, and maybe more.
I couldn't tell if it was like just a very close table read, like, or like. But let's also talk about, like, yesterday Thompson was photographed locking lips with Australian model Zach Stenmark. So we're throwing a fourth into this.
I just want to circle back also to Rita Ora and Taika Waititi, who they, like, haven't really confirmed anything, but we've seen them out and about in Australia where she's there for work, he's there for work. I'm like, what is going on with all of them? I'm like, who, only they know. Maybe they don't even know.
Like, I just feel like Tessa Thompson must be an amazing kisser because there's no short list of people who are trying to lock lips with her. Just a fun story. Jeff, thank you so much for just talking through all of this love and light that we've been going through today.
Love and light. And yes, wedding bliss and thruples. I live for it. I live for you, Janine.
Aw, love you, Jeff.
Love ya.
Guys, it is college season. I know you've seen the countless graduation videos as well as the exciting college acceptance videos that are floating around right now. Well, Howard University in DC, which is of course an HBCU, a historically black college or university, is all over the news right now. For one, actress Felicia Rashad, best known for her beloved Cosby Show role as Claire Huxtable, is an alum, and she was just named Dean of Howard's College of Fine Arts. And if that isn't cool enough, Howard's College of Fine Arts building was just renamed in honor of another alum, the late, great Chadwick Boseman. So cool. And earlier this week, I caught up with yet another famous Howard alum, actress and host Lala Anthony, who is working with McDonald's Black and Positively Golden movement to give out over $500,000 worth of scholarships to HBCU students. So listen in here to a little of our conversation about that and her own little future college student, her and Carmelo Anthony's teenage son, Kion.
Any way I can lend my voice and my time to give Black students and Hispanic students access to scholarship funds to continue their education, to be around people that, although are from different walks of life and different states and countries and all over the world, but still share, you know, a common interest, is a pretty fascinating thing. And HBCUs offer so many different programs. You'll definitely be able to find something that motivates you or a cause or something that you're interested in. So it's such an amazing experience. And I would encourage anyone who has the opportunity to go to definitely take advantage of that. And if, you know, finances are a reason that you may not be able to attend or continue your education, that's why these amazing programs like the McDonald's Black and Positively Golden Scholarship Program exist, to give you, you know, options out there to be able to, you know, attend these HBCUs and get everything they have to offer.
So tell me about your hopes for Kion. I mean, he's only 14, but are you pushing him towards that HBCU life? Are you whispering Howard in his ear yet?
Yeah, so he's just starting high school in the fall. So we started you know, helping him with picking his high school, which was really good because it kind of prepares him to understand the process when it comes to picking, you know, a college for himself. And, you know, I would definitely tell him, and he knows what a great experience I had, you know, at Howard, and understands the importance of HBCUs. And if that's the right fit for him with what he wants to do, I will support it. But I would definitely continue to let him know, you know, what an amazing experience I had and how I think it could be an amazing experience, you know, for him as well.
Next up, home economics star Sasheer Zamata on her new role and the importance of having a good best friend. Stay tuned.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Guys, we've got actress and stand-up comedian Sasheer Zamata on the show with us today, as she's a woman who got her start in comedy at her alma mater, University of Virginia's improv comedy troupe, Amuse Bouche. I like saying that. I couldn't wait to get to that word. Not long after that, she had a big break when she joined the cast of SNL in 2014. And she's also been in I Feel Pretty, Transparent, BoJack Horseman, and The Last OG. And now you can catch her on ABC's new comedy series, Home Economics, alongside Topher Grace. She plays Denise, who is married to Sarah, and they have two kids. And now Sasheer is here to tell me all about it. Hi.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for being on. Where are you in the world right now?
I am in California. Cali. It's nice. Yeah. I'm a new Los Angelian. I moved here like 2 years ago from New York, but I like it. Yeah. People were like, oh, the New York to LA transition is going to be so rough. It's going to take you a while. But like, as soon as I got here, I was like, it's nice. This is good.
Yeah. You're like sunshine, avocados. I love it.
Can't complain.
So tell me about Denise. Tell me about this new show, Home Economics. For those who don't know, what's your character? What are we doing on this show?
Home Economics is about a family of multiple families, and each of them have varying levels of income. And I like the idea of the show because there's definitely shows that highlight like families that are in a different money bracket, but it's interesting to see a whole family that is experiencing that together at different levels. And you definitely get to see how those dynamics play out, because it's awkward to talk about money. It's awkward to ask your brother for a loan, or like, you know, you can't go to this restaurant this weekend, but your cousin wants to, you know, like there's so many different factors that we don't like talking about, but I like that the show is trying to tackle that. And I'm part of the broke part of the family. Okay. Me and my wife, Caitlin McGee, is the actress who plays my wife, Sarah. And we are bleeding heart, like do-gooders who are here to try to save the world. Mm-hmm. I'm a second grade teacher. She's a psychologist for at-risk youth. And so that doesn't make a lot of money, unfortunately. Even though we have a good impact on the world, we don't make a lot of money.
Are you particularly money-minded yourself? Do you have your finger on the pulse of Wall Street and all that good stuff?
I don't have my finger on the pulse of Wall Street. No, I'm trying to get better. I'm trying to learn more about it because, no one teaches you that stuff. It's unfortunate. I wish there was more.
It's wild, right? That we don't learn.
Yeah, there's so much you have to learn on your own where you're like, oh, that's a new part of my finances I need to think about. And it's not intuitive.
Well, me neither. I'm still learning. I should have been gotten myself together. So, oh my gosh. So off screen, you have a lot of other stuff going on as well. Namely with your best friend, Nicole Byer, you guys have the Best Friends podcast. So tell me a little bit about that and how you fit that into your schedule.
Yeah. Well, Nicole Byer is my best friend, and we met 10 years ago in New York and worked together. We've traveled together. And a couple years ago, we were approached to do a podcast and we couldn't really think of anything, but we were like, I don't know. It's just kind of fun when we talk and when we are just ourselves. And thankfully it has worked out and people like hearing that. And I also feel like, there aren't a lot of avenues that highlight friendship, and we love doing it. We love celebrating our friendship. We love talking about other people's friendship. We'll have guests on and then have people call in or write in and ask questions. And we'll, you know, we're not experts, but we'll answer to the best of our ability. We had a long friendship, so I feel like we have some tips. We kind of fit it in whenever.
And so what I do want one of your tips on friendship. You make me think of the last season of Insecure, which was all about, that friendship kind of breaking down. And it was just so sad. And we've all had those friendships that as much as you miss that person and you want that person to still be in your life, you missed each other somehow and it's just not working out. But so how do you guys keep that spark in your friendship for as long as you have?
I mean, one way we communicate in so many different ways. We like text each other. We'll send each other Instagram memes. We'll send each other Twitter things. We'll call each other. We'll FaceTime.
Yeah.
And also I think making sure that we do have time for each other, because we both get very busy. We both have our own careers and lives and stuff. Otherwise you take each other for granted and you're like, oh, we're in the same city. I'll see you eventually. But if you don't make an actual effort to see each other, you won't.
Okay. So back to work, back to on-screen stuff. You've been very open about just the experiences that you've had in the casting process and how you feel as a Black woman in Hollywood. So I'm wondering, do you feel like things are getting better in terms of the opportunities that are just specifically available to you as a brown skin woman in Hollywood?
Yeah, I do feel like things are really good right now. I feel very fortunate to be working at a time where people get to create stories that they actually lived. And I think that's awesome. And yeah, I've had people ask, like, you know, have you had to compromise anything? Like, you know, compromise your Blackness or your hair or anything to like fit into this mold that people are trying to create on TV? And I feel very, very lucky that I have not. Like, you know, nice. I showed up to Home Economics and they're like, we like your hair. That's great. Do that. You know, they're like, I like that I get to bring myself to the project.
And then just lastly, stand up. What's happening in the stand up lane and how are things going there? I know there's not really shows that much, but is there any virtual aspect of stand up? I miss comedy shows.
Me too. I did a show last week and it's interesting because if you don't do it for months, there is a little like getting your groove back that needs to happen. So
I think that's the hardest thing ever is stand up comedy. Like just in the entertainment world, it's just, I bow down to you guys because like getting people to laugh.
I love it. And I can't wait to get back to it. Yeah. I was supposed to film my special last May and you know, the world had to take a pause, but I plan on doing it next year. And I can't wait to get back on the road and get in front of people and like interact. And yeah, it's just such a pure form of performance.
That was actress and comedian Sasheer Zamata. For more on her and her show Home Economics, head over to people.com. Now, something truly impressive to make you smile. There's a new Einstein breaking barriers, and get this, she is only 2 years old. Her name is Cash Quest, and she has made history as the youngest member of Mensa in the United States with an IQ of 146. Two-year-old, okay? She can count to 100, knows more than 50 signs in sign language, she's learning to read, knows the periodic table, is taking Spanish lessons, and can identify all 50 states by shape and location. Although she is a young genius, her mom, Sajit Athwal, says at the end of the day, she really wants her to have a normal childhood. Take a listen.
We're kind of going at her pace, and we want to just make sure that she is youthful for as long as she can be.
Oh, and P.S., the average IQ in the United States is around 100. So, yeah, I've never taken it. And at the risk of falling short of a 2-year-old, I probably never will. I will talk to you guys tomorrow.